God made the universe so big that we might see him flex. That's why it's so big. If you've ever given a few moments to ponder the size of the universe, it is breathtaking. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship." Now look at verse 2. "Day after day, they continue to speak. And night after night, they make him known." That's why it's so big. Just so we could see him flex. Do a little study this week on how big the universe is. It should either cause you anxiety or cause you to worship. Okay, the last two Sundays, I taught on prayer. Biblical prayer. What to pray for. How to pray. So we're going to do something a little different today, and we are going to break off into groups and pray. I'm kidding. Ty told me to do that. I only got one crack at that. Every introvert in the room right now just said internally, "I'm never coming back." Am I right? Yes, I was kidding. Some of you were excited, like, "What are we going to pray for?" And some of you, your heart rate is still over 150. I only got one crack at that joke. Okay, we're not going to do that. But today I'm going to focus on two things. One, what does it mean to respond to God's word? That's the first thing we're going to focus on, responding to God's word. Do you even do that? And then the second thing is we're going to define the win. We're going to talk about what is the win for you. What is the win for the church and the Christian life? Like, what is the goal of Christianity? When we say that we are winning in discipleship, what does that mean? What is the target that we're aiming at? Number one, responding to God's word. I am really passionate about this one thing, because many people give no effort to their Christian walk. And it's tragic. Many people give no effort to following God, to pursuing God, to know God. And the saddest part is, you're missing out. It's not a chore that you got to muster yourself up to do. It is the delight. So the saddest part is you're missing out. In our world today, we hate the word responsibility. We love just passing the blame onto something else. It's almost like a swear word if you talk about responsibility. It's almost like we hate the word accountability. Like a child, they come selfish. They're born that way. What do they say? They say, "Don't tell me what to do." Like him right now, he's really mad. You just sneak out. Nobody will notice. We don't like the word to think like, some of this is on me. But God did not make you a robot. He made you a living being with the ability to respond. So when it comes to your faith, your response to God is your responsibility. I did a little play on words there. Isn't that cute? Your response to God is on you. It's your responsibility. You can't blame this on like, "Well, the pastor will just tell me what to do," or "The priest will walk me through what to do." No. And to do nothing with God is choosing a response. I don't think anybody ever talks to you this way. Luke 7 says it this way. Jesus says, Luke 7, 31, "What am I going to compare this generation to? How can I describe them?" Now get this, you're going to not like this. "They are like children playing a game in the public square. And they complain to their friends." And here's what they complain. "We played a wedding song for you, but you did not dance. We played a funeral song for you, and you did not weep." The whole point is, what am I going to compare this generation to? You didn't respond. You did nothing with the gospel. You did nothing with Jesus. We played a happy song for you. You didn't care. We played a sad song for you, and you didn't care. The news came from God that there is a Savior. He came into the world, and you didn't care. You were unaffected by it. The news came that you need to turn from your life of sin and mourn over your sin and trust in a Savior, and you were not sad. It's a huge tragedy, and I mean this, that you can hear of the gospel and you can read the word of God and not have it affect you. Why? Just consider for a moment. Is it possible that you might not be saved? This is possible. Is it possible that I have never been affected by the gospel? That when we sing, it's just a melody. Did those songs mean anything? Does your heart want Christ? Is it possible that you don't respond to the gospel because you've never turned from your sin and you've never clung to the Savior? Is it possible that the reason you're unaffected by Jesus is because you're not a Christian? Is it possible that your entire life you've just been playing the part of what a Christian looks like? Pastorally, I have tears and I weep because I want something for you more than you even want for yourself. To know God. And I can't drag you along. It's haunting. It is haunting to know about heaven and hell and what happens to people who die outside of Christ. It's a haunting to know that Jesus said that most people don't make it to heaven. I didn't say that. He said it. And here it is. The word goes out. And you guys think I'm talking about someone else. Up on the screen, no one else can live your Christian life for you. This is the point of today. It's on you. You must respond to this. Don't take any comfort that you're sitting in church. Being in church doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a car. Sometimes I like to make vroom vroom sounds, but it doesn't work that way. The message of the gospel goes out like the sun spreading across the land. You have all heard it, and you've heard it for years. And the gospel is this: Christ came into the world to save sinners. He left heaven and come to rescue you. And your response to that news is meh. What's in the box? What did I get? You're unaffected. You don't care. It has no effect on your life. It has no effect on your heart. Just consider for a second humanly. Let's just think of the realm of a marriage. It's just a relationship, the most basic fundamental relationship. How does it work if one side gives no effort? Do not nudge your husband right now. Sometimes it's on the woman, sometimes. Just very rare. How does that work? How does that feel to the other person? Is it honoring when one side gives zero effort to the relationship? No, it's frustrating. And for some reason, we think that when it comes to God, that he's less exciting than a screen. I think about that. He's less exciting than Facebook. No, he's not. You just don't know him that well. He's less exciting than internet drama. Internet drama is worth more your time than hearing from him. Isaiah 66:4. I will send them great trouble. This is God talking. All the things that they were afraid of. For when I called, they did not answer. When I spoke, they did not listen. What did they do? They deliberately sinned before my very eyes and chose to do the very things that they knew I despised. It is wild to me when you read through God's word, he gives no excuses for not responding. Nobody gets a free pass. Like, well, I was basically one of the good ones. The truth is, you just didn't care. You just didn't believe, and he's pleading with you. This is on you. You have the responsibility to respond to God. Up on the screen, how you respond to God's word is directly related to how much you believe it. I'm not a particularly loving guy. I've learned to not like my dog. I thought I liked dogs. I realize now I do not like dogs. But simply why I love Christ so much is because of who he is. And all I'm doing is responding to him. There was a little meme or a TikTok going around that said 14 minutes and 25 seconds. 14 minutes and 25 seconds is 1% of your day. We do not give 14 minutes and 25 seconds to hearing from God's word in a day. Think about that. It's discouraging. The heights of your worship is determined by the depth of your relationship with Christ. So if you come in on a Sunday and you sing songs and you are unaffected by it, and it means nothing to you, it's because you didn't spend any time with him throughout the week. Think of hearing from God like you eat. What if you skipped meals all week and then tried to eat 12 cheeseburgers on Sunday? You'd have a gut ache and then diarrhea. But we do that when it comes to our relationship with God. Don't give a rip about him all week. So much stuff is more exciting. And then we come on a Sunday and we're like, you know, the sermon just wasn't that great. As you hear this sermon right now, you might be tempted to think Jason just had a bad week and needs a nap and a snack. I actually wrote that down because that's how I'm feeling as I'm saying it. But the truth is, in reality, I just want more for you. I want more of Christ for you. And I really have felt this way for over a decade. That God is so dishonored when he's nothing more than a church service. I don't have a category for it other than you just don't know him that well. You don't give a rip about him. Hebrews 12:25. We came across this in your Bible reading yesterday, if you read it. We'll get there. The reason I want you to read your Bible is not anything other than that you would delight in God. You can get no holy points for spending more time in the Word than the next person. But you will fall more in love with Christ. And I came across this. Be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. That's not talking about a pastor. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, he was just an earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. So your Christian life is on no one else than you. Moving on to point two, and it'll go faster, I promise. What is the win? When are we winning in the Christian life? When are we winning in discipleship? What's the goal of the whole Christian life? I'm going to make it simple. The goal of the whole Christian life is to delight in God more than you delight in anything. We're winning if you do that. That's where all my prayers are directed, that these people would be infatuated with you. The goal of the Christian life is to treasure God more than you treasure anything, more than paramotors, more than dirt bikes, more than the Chiefs. Psalm 16:11. I just have five verses here. You show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Do you even feel that way? God is not one long church service. Psalm 73:25. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. Could you say that with integrity? 26. My health may fail, and my spirit's going to grow weak, but God is my strength forever because he is mine. Psalm 63:2-5. Your unfailing love is better than life. We're all afraid to die. How I praise you. Keep going. Whoops. Nope. I guess I only gave you 63:3. I'm going to read the rest because it's good. That one's on me. I apologize weekly to my sound guys. 63:3. I have seen you in the sanctuary and gaze upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me. Psalm 63:5. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you in song. Do you love Christ more than Chick-fil-A? It's just an honest question. Hebrews 11:24. Now, it was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, remember he grew up in Egypt, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That would have been a privilege. 25. He chose to share the oppression of God's people. They were slaves instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. How could he do that? Verse 26. He thought it was better to have Christ. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own all the treasures of Egypt. He was way up there, son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was looking ahead to the great reward. And then lastly, Matthew 13:44. This is Jesus' own words. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovers, hidden in a field. In his excitement, in his joy, not a begrudging chore or I have to because so God will like me. He hid everything he had, sold it, and sold it all, enough money to buy that field. The goal of Christianity, you've got to get this, is not to get people saved. Like that's the finish line, and then you don't know what to do once they get saved. The goal of Christianity is not to get people saved. God is not honored when he is just a get-out-of-hell-free card. It's not honoring to him. God is honored by your life, by your response, by your words, and by your heart when he is your endless treasure. That is the most honoring life you can live to God, is when he truly is your endless treasure. And simply, I just want that for you. That's it. That's why I preach. That's why I read my Bible. I would do all of this stuff if none of you were here. I don't read my Bible so I can send out a Bible text, although most of you are annoyed when I do. I don't follow God just because what he can give me or do for me. I want him himself. It's not just, can you forgive my sins and give me eternal life? I want God himself. Is he your deepest affections? I don't study a book because I want to know the book. The goal is to know the author. That's why I read. And if you don't feel this way right now, if you don't feel that God is an endless treasure or that he's better than Chick-fil-A, I want to help you. I want to help you see it. That's why we read the chronological Bible, is to delight in God. That's the purpose. Have you considered that you are most like Jesus when, how would you finish that statement? When you're born in a manger? Nope. You are most like Jesus when you delight in his heavenly Father. That characterized his life. That's all he lived for. 2026, grab a chronological Bible and read through it with me. In 2009 was the first time I read through the entire Bible. 2009, and I rented the audio Bible from the library. And if you've ever rented something from the library, it's stressful to get it back before they start haunting you. Are you going to renew it? Yeah. You think I'm that fast? And it was an audio Bible, get this, called the Bible Experience, an all-professional cast. Denzel Washington, Samuel L. Jackson, I know, LL Cool J. Can you imagine that as Moses? Hey, yo, yo, let my people go, okay? Here's the point, though. In 3 weeks, I made it through the entire Bible on my beer route. Yes, God works through beer routes. And I realized I did not know God at all. I had no clue, and I had been in church my whole life. And so I want you to read through his word and then make your decision on who he is. I didn't know God at all. It's the number one thing that catapulted my faith to a whole nother level. This is what you were made for, to know God. And I'm not acting when I'm up here and I say, Christ is my endless treasure. I'm not playing the role of a pastor when I tell you that I delight in Christ personally. It's not a job. I just believe this stuff. That's it. And the more that I knew God personally, the more that I hungered for him. And I just want that for you. So I'm going to give you three personal testimonies and we're done. I text people all the time. It's annoying to many. But I ask them, what affects you when you read God's word? And get this, these are three different people, not my words. I told them I'm going to steal this. The effort I put into reading affects what I get out of it. That's his words. That's not mine. And then another lady said this, I ask myself, am I willing to be changed by what I read? Those are hard things. Like, no, I just want to read it and move on with my life. And then thirdly, he said, do not test the word against what I already believe. Test what I already believe against the word. Shape your view of God from the Bible, not from a pastor, not from church. So have you responded to God's word personally? And do you delight yourself in a Savior? Let's pray. God, sometimes I don't know how to respond. Sometimes it's sadness, and sometimes it's joy. I ask that Christ would be the highest treasure of everyone, not just in Christmas season, but January through November. I pray that we would give you your proper respect and that you would show us who you are. We would have eyes to see it, ears to hear it, just look at the stars and see you flex. I pray that as we read and think about Jesus coming to save us, that it's not just a story right before we get presents, but that we would delight personally in you yourself. It's in his name we pray. Amen.